So hey guys, I'm so glad to be here today and to be one of the summer preachers. It's so exciting to have the opportunity. I actually was asked to preach. I've been asked to preach three times and I've said no until this year because I didn't feel like I was ready. So I'm really excited to have the opportunity to speak this year. And it being my last Sunday here, I feel like it's really significant. So today I'm going to be speaking about how Jesus qualifies the unqualified. So the summer series, as Cara had mentioned, is the flawed Bible characters. And I chose David, mainly because I'm so inspired by his life. He's just such an amazing man. But also, actually, when I was away, I mentioned before, I was in California, God woke me up one night to a Bible verse, Matthew 12:3, and it was very specific. It said, "Have you not read of the hunger of David?" And I was like, "Oh no, I haven't." and so immediately it stirred something in me to be like, okay, I think this is the one I want to choose. And so that was one of the main reasons why I chose to talk about David today. So I said I'm speaking about how Jesus qualifies the unqualified. I love this series, Flawed Bible Characters, mainly because it's so relatable. Cara had mentioned that there's maybe people that you've been thinking about that are flawed, but ultimately we're all flawed. We're all messed up, and that's why God's grace is so good. So we can read. We're going to delve right into the Word. And we're going to go to 2 Samuel 11, between 2 and 5, where we can find out how David was flawed. So if you would like to follow along on a church Bible, put your hand up, and the hospitality team, I'm sure, will give that out for you. I think it's page 300, but I might be wrong because I've got a different Bible. But I'll wait a second for you guys to find it, and then I'll get on. It's 2 Samuel 11, 2-5. And it will also be on the screen if you want to follow along there. So, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." And actually the story goes on to talk about how, so David committed adultery and then he tried to cover up this adultery by murdering her husband Uriah and then marrying her. So it goes on for quite a while, so I just thought I'd summarize that for you guys. This story is quite heavy, and you may think, just hearing briefly about it, you may think, well, personally I've not killed someone. You may think this doesn't relate to me, but I was actually reminded that there's no grading for sin in God's eyes, whether it's just a lie or whether it's murder. He doesn't put it in a specific grading. It's all sin in his eyes. However, I'm not going to focus on that today. As we know, David was a man after God's own heart. So even though he was messy, even though he was flawed, God adored him in the same way he adores us today. And I know personally, I would love to be a woman after God's own heart. I don't know about you guys. And so what I'm going to do is, as you may already know, David wrote a lot of the Psalms. And so I love personally the Psalms. They're so real and relatable, and I asked God, because there's so many, and I just was like, which one do I choose? I asked God which one was the one to speak about, and he gave me Psalm 40 in the Passion Translation. And as I read it through, it was so relatable to what I wanted to speak about today. So as I mentioned, I'm going to have my mom come and read it. It's in the Passion Translation, so it will be a bit different to your Bibles, but you can follow along on the screen or just have a listen to it.
Psalm 40, a joyful salvation for the pure and shining one, a song of poetic praise by King David. I waited and waited and waited some more, patiently knowing God would come through for me. Then at last, he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I had fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. Blessing after blessing comes to those who love and trust the Lord. They will not fall away, for they refuse to listen to the lies of the proud. Oh Lord, our God, no one can compare with you. Such wonderful works and miracles are all found with you. And you think of us all the time with your countless expressions of love, far exceeding our expectations. It's not sacrifices that really move your heart. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, that's not what brings you joy. But when you open my ears and speak deeply to me, I become your willing servant, your prisoner of love for life. So I said, here I am, I'm coming to you as a sacrifice, for in the prophetic scrolls of your book, you have written about me. I delight to fulfill your will, my God, for your living words are written upon the pages of my heart. I tell everyone, everywhere, the truth of your righteousness, and you know that I haven't held back in telling the message to all. I don't keep it a secret or hide the truth. I preach of your faithfulness and kindness, proclaiming your extravagant love to the largest crowd I can find. So Lord, don't hold back your love or withhold your tender mercies from me. Keep me in your truth and let your compassion overflow to me no matter what I face. Evil surrounds me, problems greater than I can solve come one after another. Without you, I know I can't make it. My sins are so many, so I'm so ashamed to lift my face to you, for my guilt grabs me and stings my soul until I'm weakened and spent. Please, Lord, come quickly and rescue me. Take pleasure in showing me your favour and restore me. But let all who passionately seek you erupt with excitement and joy over what you've done. Let all your lovers rejoice continually in the Saviour, saying, how great and glorious is our God. Lord, in my place of weakness and need, I ask again, will you come and help me? I know I'm always in your thoughts. You are my true Saviour and hero. So don't delay to deliver me now, for you are my God.
So what an amazing psalm. I just loved it when I read it. It was so powerful. And actually, throughout this time, I'm going to refer to it and break it up as we go along. So I mentioned I'm speaking about Jesus qualifying the unqualified. I know I may be repeating myself, but personally, I don't get it into my mind until people repeat it. So I want to say it so many times so you remember, because God wants to qualify you today. Jesus qualified David as king, and he wants to qualify you. So I want to share a testimony with you guys of how he did this for me. As some of you may know, I sometimes lead worship here, and it was funny how it all started, because I had no musical background or qualifications in music, but God qualified me, and I love to worship. But when I went away to Bethel, I felt God say to me, I want you to not apply for worship, not be on worship teams this time. And so I didn't. And while I was away, I was really able to have what worship was completely redefined to me, that it wasn't just singing songs, but it was actually a lifestyle. It was an essence of my being. It was, and actually, as we were reading the Psalms, I felt that Psalm 40 verse 3 says it so well. So I'm going to just break it down. It says, a new song for a new day rises up in me. Every time I think about how he breaks through for me, ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. How good is that? I mean, where I had disqualified myself, Jesus qualified me. And on the journey of taking time to see what worship was, I've been able to come back, and it's an essence of ecstatic praise. I wanted to say to you guys that actually the testimonies that I'm sharing through this time, it says in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. So with all the testimonies that I share tonight, if there's anything that you think, oh, I want this for myself, then all it's an opportunity for God to do it again in your life. And all you need to say is, do it again, God, or I receive this for myself. Because personally, I've seen God move through my friends, through testimonies that he's done in me. So I've loved studying all about David and how God has chosen David. And we can see in 1 Samuel 16:8-13 how God chose David, even though Jesse, his dad, didn't even really recognize him as his son. So it's up there if you want to follow along. It says, then Jesse called Abinadab, and it's quite a hard one, and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David, and Samuel went back to Ramah. And I love this story. Hearing about how Samuel anoints David as king with oil, like how amazing. But what I love most, actually you said, do you prefer the New Testament? is I love that the New Testament is shown now, because God actually anoints Jesus throughout the New Testament with the Holy Spirit. And the same way that he can anoint us today with the Holy Spirit, which is so, so amazing and so good. And actually, I love the verse before verse 8. In verse 7, it says, the Lord does not look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. So he sees your heart today. God called David out and saw him when no one else did. And that's exactly what he did for me. I just want to share a little bit about my testimony of going away. Some of you may or may not know, I was working in a nursery and I was studying a foundation degree in early years, and I kind of felt like this is where I'm meant to be and this is what God has for me. And then I felt God really call me out in the midst of where I thought it was all great. And someone gave me a word that said, Jesus sacrificed his life, dying on the cross for you. What's your sacrifice to him? And immediately it stuck out to me. I was like, what is my sacrifice? What have I sacrificed? And actually, I heard at that moment him call me from being on a performance ladder, working and striving to grow in intimacy and take time with him. And so that's what I did. And I'm going to go back to Psalm 40, because Psalm 46 and 7, I think, say it so well. It says, it's not sacrifices that really move your heart. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, that's not what brings you joy. But when you open my ears and speak deeply to me, I become your willing servant, your prisoner of love for life. So I said, here I am. I'm coming to you as a sacrifice, for in the prophetic scrolls of your book, you have written about me. And that's exactly what I did. I said, okay, God, you want me to stop working. Here I am. I don't know what you're going to do, and I don't know why I'm going here, but here I am. And that's what he says to us. So on my journey when I was away, God was speaking to me. And in Psalm 41, it says, I waited some more, patiently knowing God would come through for me. Then at last he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger, from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I'd fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. And I love those verses, because that's exactly what he did for me on this journey. I said, here I am, God, you want me to go, I'll go. And not realizing that I was such a mess, and I still am, and that's completely fine. But I had such a divided heart. I was living a life riddled with shame and fear and brokenness. And when I took time away to cry out to God and say, here I am, you've sent me here. What do you have for me? He brought complete healing to me. He brought restoration. He brought life. He brought purpose. And actually, only when I took time to stop and listen to what he had for me was I able to hear what God was calling me into. And I love actually how clearly God says this to David. In Samuel 2, 7, 8 and 9, he says, I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people. I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. How amazing. So David honored the process. He served the purpose, and God gave the promotion. David honored the process in the waiting, through his trials, when it was tough. He served the purpose by remaining faithful as a shepherd boy. And God gave the promotion, anointing him as king. And his intimacy was what brought the anointing. His intimacy with God was what brought the anointing. And actually, I don't know if you know, but it was 10 to 13 years after David was anointed that he became king. 10 to 13 years. And during this time, he was tested, he was challenged. Saul actually wanted to kill him for over a decade because of jealousy. And I was reading Bill Johnson's book, Strengthening Yourself in the Lord. I'd really recommend it. It's a great book. Yeah. And I think he says it so well. He says, we can see simply through how long David remained humble and faithful when Saul wanted to kill him. It was about testing David's ability to believe and walk in the word over his life, even when circumstances opposed his destiny. So we're going to just watch a little clip now. Yeah.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you. Sigma.
are and so forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. You must take your place in this circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king.
So, funnily enough, Kara had no idea that I was going to play this clip. So that is God talking, God speaks today, and that's a great example because I had no idea that Kara was going to mention that. So I also went and watched The Lion King with my mum last week. And as I was watching it, I had this revelation through it of how similar Simba's life is to David. And so I wanted to put that clip in, and then when Kara said she was also thinking of Lion King, it was just so funny. So I love that clip because when the monkey Rafiki says to Simba, his dad lives in you, Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And then Mufasa goes on and says, you've forgotten who you are, so you've forgotten me. You are more than what you've become. In the same way that David could have forgotten who he was with all the people that were against him, to be against him being anointed as king. But he didn't, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then Mufasa went on to repeat, remember who you are, remember who you are, remember who you are. And once Simba, like Kara said, stopped believing the lies that he wasn't good enough, that he actually had killed the father, he could finally step into freedom. And in the same way that Simba went away and for however long he did, and he grew and he went through trials and he went through challenges before he came king, David did. So I just found that really funny because it was so similar to David's life. So I wonder, are you walking in the positive words that have been spoken over your life today? Or have you forgotten who you are or who lives inside of you because of circumstances or lies that you've been believing? God is good and he's only good. And negative words that have been put into your mind are actually from the enemy. They're not from God. He wants to speak life into you today. He doesn't want to speak. He wants to speak life. He wants to crown you like he crowned David as royalty in the kingdom. He wants you to step into your royal identity because we are part of God's family. So we are in the royal family. And you may think, well, how? Well, David strengthened himself in the Lord and praise was his breakthrough. He was a worshiper. He was completely real. He was completely honest with God, even when it was hard and even when people told him different. David honored the process, he served the purpose, and God gave the promotion. So I wonder, what's your circumstances today? Where can you honor the process? I know for me, actually, I've been honoring the process with my finances, and funnily enough, writing this talk, I wrote a specific amount that I needed and God has already given me that amount before, and I wrote this talk last week. And so honoring the process shows how powerful honoring the process has been in this journey for me, because God has already given more than I could have thought. So where can you honor the process today? Where can you serve the purpose? I know for me personally, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and going back to Bethel because that's what God is calling me to do, and that's what he says he has in store for me and so much more. But what's the promotion that you're wanting today? God will give it to you. There's a verse that says, ask anything and he'll give it to you. God is calling us today to take off a garment of heaviness and to replace it with a garment of praise. So actually what I want us to do is to do it. There's actually real power in prophetic acts, and prophetic acts are just doing yeah, just doing it. And faith is the evidence of the unseen. So where you may think it's a bit silly and it's a bit insignificant, I've seen God move through prophetic acts. So what we're going to do is I want you to just physically do it with me. We're going to take off the garment of heaviness, maybe from our weeks, maybe from our months, maybe from our years, and we're going to replace it with the garment of praise. And we're going to trust God and know that there's power in doing that. Yeah, so we're going to just take some time to respond soon, but maybe you're here today and there's specific things that you've disqualified yourself today for. Maybe you're a young couple and you're not sure if you're qualified to be a parent. Maybe you're studying and you're not sure if you're qualified to get your dream job. Maybe you're a mature Christian here today and you don't know if God's qualified you for all that he has for you. Maybe you think that your past has defined you and you don't think you're worthy. And maybe this is all new to you today and you're thinking, well, how could God qualify me? Does he even know me? Or maybe you just don't feel qualified for God's love. And I know that there may be things here that it's more personal. There's things that you know specifically that you've disqualified yourself from. But I want us to respond, and we're going to respond differently to maybe how you have done before. Because the great news is today that God qualifies all of us. That even when you've disqualified yourself, that there's stuff that you've said that you can't do, God is qualifying us today. And so what I want us to do is, can we just all stand up? And what we're going to do is we're going to make a personal declaration. So personally, I've been on a journey of learning the power of declarations. As I said, I had all these finances to raise over this summer. And there was this song that God gave me, and it was the chorus of it says, I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, because he's more than enough. And so every time when I didn't have my finances, I'd say, God, I know that you're enough, even when I know that I've got to meet this deadline, because you're faithful and he came through. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this declaration out, and you can just have a think while I'm reading it, how you can personalize this to yourself. Don't worry about the people that are around you. This is so personal to you, because no one else knows the disqualifications that you have in your mind but you. So the declaration is going to be, I, Bella, but you'll say your name, declare that I was created for a purpose with a God-given plan, and I am qualified as a daughter, son of God, to, and then you'll say whatever your disqualification is. So an example is to receive his love. So let's say it together. So I, Bella,
declare that
I was created for a purpose
with a God-given plan,
and I am qualified as a daughter or a son.
I am qualified as a daughter.
Of God to receive his love. And so we're gonna say the whole thing again, but I'm gonna give you 10 seconds now to think in your mind what is it that you've been disqualifying, because not everyone in here has disqualified themselves from receiving God's love. That's personal. I've just wrote that one because that's sometimes I disqualify myself from that. I know that there's things in here that you've just disqualified yourselves from. So we're going to just wait 10 seconds and just think in your mind. And when we say out loud, if it helps, you can whisper it. But I really encourage you to say out loud. There's no shame in this place. Great, so we're going to say it again. So I, Bella,
declare that I was created for a purpose.
With a God-given plan. And I am qualified as a daughter or a son.
Of God to receive his love.
Thank you, Jesus. So what we're going to do now to respond is I'm going to play a song that I felt God wanted us to hear. And I want us to stay in this place. We all can disqualify ourselves from things, and they may be tiny, but God sees them. And so we're going to listen to this song now, and I really want to encourage you to find a space to go wherever you like, whether you want to lie down, whether you want to kneel down, whether you want to sit down. We're going to just listen to this song and let God's love wash over you. We're going to let the Holy Spirit anoint you today, like he anointed David. He wants to anoint you. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to put the song on. And I'd really encourage you to find a space. Remember that even if you came here with someone today, this is a personal thing, and God wants to meet with you personally today. So God, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you so much that you're here today. I thank you so much that you're moving in this place. Jesus, I thank you that you qualify the unqualified. God, I just pray that as we listen to this song, you would start to take away the lies in our minds that say we're unqualified, and you would replace those lies with truth today, that we are qualified for your love, that we are qualified. Yeah, Jesus, we welcome you to come right now. So find a space. Lie down, sit down, kneel down, just get comfortable.
Nothing you can do that would make him love you less. He loves you because he loves you, 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 because that is what he is like. It is his nature to love. And you will always be the beloved. And his love is unchanging. And he loves you 100%. He won't love you any better when you become better. He loves you 100% right now. And even if you have no plans to become better, he will still love you 100%. Because he loves you, because that's the way that he is. And even if you don't want to change, he will love you 100%. Even if you have no plans to walk with him, he will love you 100%. Because that's his nature. He loves all the way, all the time. His love is unchanging. What will change, says the Lord, is your ability to receive my love. And this evening, I want to cram some more of that ability inside you. So I challenge you, says the Lord, open your heart to me. Open your heart to me. And you will receive more of my love than you've ever experienced before. I dare you, says the Lord. Come on, open your heart to me. Give me your heart. Give me whatever your obstacle is. I'll take it. I'll remove it out of the way. because I love you as you are right now. I love you 100% as you are right this moment. I love you as you are. So be loved. You are the beloved. It is your job, says the Lord, to be loved outrageously. It is why I chose you. That is why I set my love upon you, that you would live as one who is outrageously loved, that you would receive a radical love, so radical it'll blow all your paradigms of what you think love is. And now says the Lord, I will love you outrageously all the days of your life, because I don't know how to be any different. This is who I am, and this is who I will always be. This is the I am that I promised you. I am he that loves you outrageously. And you may love me back with the love that I give you. You may love me back outrageously with the outrageous love that I bestow upon you. And know this, says the Lord, you can only love me as much as you love yourself. So my love comes this evening to set you free from yourself, to set you free from how you see yourself, to set you free from the smallness of your own thinking about yourself. My love comes to set you free from rejection and from shame and from low self-esteem and from despair and from abuse. Because when I look at you, says the Lord, I see something that I love. I see someone that I can love outrageously. And I have so much to bestow upon you, so much to give you, so many places to take you in my heart. But you can't go there unless you allow me to love you. And my love for you will break every barrier, bring every wall crashing down. And know this, says the Lord, my love damages fear. My love hates fear. My love will fight fear. It will fight fear in you. It will fight fear around you. And if you have fear this evening, says the Lord, then know that you have a treat in store, because my perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear where I am present, because my love casts out fear. Beloved, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. And in my love, I want you to feel good about yourself.